How does an atrocity become an act of creative transformation? Hello, I'm Kirsty Melville. This is Earshot, and it's an important question we're asking in this episode. The bombing of the Basque country's Guernica in northern Spain by the Nazis in 1937 is an infamous moment in modern history. It was the first recorded case of deliberately carpet bombing civilians. But strangely enough, some Basque people consider themselves lucky. Not for the death and destruction, obviously, but because this awful event had a witness in journalist George Steer and a champion in the artist Picasso, whose painting, simply titled Guernica, has become a universally recognisable symbol of both the place and of the idea of war crimes. But more than that, the painting has become a way to turn the story of violence into a dialogue about peace. Here's episode 4 of our European adventure, The Victory of Guernica, with Helen Morse.
This is the town square in Guernica. The city is celebrating its 650th birthday. And these sounds, factory sirens and church bells, are a commemoration of the bombing. It's 79 years to the minute since the German Luftwaffe devastated this town during the early days of World War II. The aim of this moment is to reinforce a pledge taken by the citizens of Guernica to make this small place a world capital for peace.
When the factory siren sounds, it is time for us to get up, and we hear the bells of the church. When I go to Mass, as I always do, I ask God for nothing to happen to us and for the war to end as soon as possible. Later, when I leave the church, I feel good.
The noises I hear always bring me down to earth. Before, when you heard the church bells chime, you knew they were for going to Mass, or that there was a wedding or baptism. Not now, though. Now, every other day, you hear the church bells sounding the alarm, warning you that the lookout has seen planes coming and that we'd better run towards the shelters.
The question is how not to become demoralised. And if spring comes, well, there will be flowers on the dining room table. And although in the end we will have to run to the shelters again and again, because you can't take too many chances, the most important thing is not to lose hope or faith in life. One of the last survivors of the bombing, who is still alive today, is 93-year-old Luis Iriondo. He remembers the bells.
Bueno, cuando empezó la guerra, los aviones al principio, pues tocaban las sirenas y tal para que fuéramos.
So when the war started, the sirens, the alarms, but as here there were some factories, the sirens were similar, so they decided to ring not the sirens of the factories, but the bells of the church.
And this is one of those bells. It survived, even though the church did not. For 8 months prior to the bombing, the sound of a bell meant an evacuation drill in stuffy air raid shelters. Even on the day, Luis remembers, he was more frightened of dying of suffocation than he was of being bombed.
Bueno, yo estaba aterrado porque decía, si cae una bomba aquí arriba,
he was really terrified because some days before, one of the shelters, because not being finished and well done, has been broken. So he was saying, if a bomb is dropped now here, thinking that he could be buried alive, you know, it was something that terrified him.
Bueno, al de 10 minutos o 15, no sé, no tenía reloj, entonces no, pues...
So after 15 minutes, they say, okay, this is over, the bombing is over, so you can go out of the shelters. And then when they were going out, he found a friend. And the friend told him, I think that has been near the Renteria Bridge, so why don't we go there to visit it? But when they were going there, again, the bell of the church started ringing again that planes were coming. But he said, I'm not going to the same shelter again at the end, you know, because he has been so terrified. So he waited that everybody enters into the shelter, and he entered at the end, close to the door.
No, allí no tenía, delante de la entrada había unos sacos de arena, mm-hmm. por si caía una bomba delante.
He was close to the entrance, and there were some sand sacks, but he didn't really know if that would be a protection if a bomb was going to fall there, no? And there was a soldier there, and he asked, do you think that it's going to take long? And the soldier didn't answer. But he was better there because he had the chance to breathe, you know, near the entrance. And he was all the time thinking, if next time there is an alarm, I won't be in a shelter. I will go to an open place, you know, because I cannot stay here. He remembered his friend Cipri and what Cipri has told him of being outside in that hole, you know.
Luis's friend had shown Luis a hole outside the city where he thought it would be good to hide. Cipri said, no bomb can get you here. It did seem like a much better place than the air raid shelter.
Bueno, esto al final de tres horas y media.
So after 3 hours or 3 hours and a half being in the shelter, from which he couldn't see really what was happening, he went out and he was astonished of all the city, all the village was completely in flames.
Entonces yo eché a correr, quería salir del pueblo.
So after that, he started running, trying to escape somewhere, you know. And it was in that moment when he said, and where are my parents? So we start asking to the people, have you seen my mother? Have you seen my father? You know, and start going to the road to Lumo. And there he saw an incendiary bombs that has not exploded, but it was in like in two parts. But it was a very nice bomb, you know, very brilliant, very... Walk a little bit, and there was the hole in which Cipri, his friend, told him to be there. There were a lot of people dead there in that hole.
Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., Luis runs an art class in the heart of Guernica. It's open to everyone, young and old, Spanish, Basque, Indian, and Venezuelan.
Here, this is the place where Jonan teaches to children how to draw, and she's Venezuelan, Basque.
But there's a lot more going on here than just an art class, especially for the children.
And she has Indian background as well, and from English as well. English, Indian. that a lot of people are coming from foreign countries, and they speak Basque. So especially children, that they catch everything easily.
On the easels, there are all kinds of images in various stages of development. One woman is even reworking a version of Picasso's famous Guernica painting. In making itself into a city of peace, Guernica is doing its bit to try to stop the wars that produce refugees in the first place. It's not just children that these asylum seekers carry on their shoulders. It's the hope of a fairer world. It is what links Luis and the story of Guernica to the current wave of refugees seeking asylum in Europe.
My role here is looking after the unaccompanied minor refugees who arrive here.
We're now in Germany, in northern Bavaria, with social worker Herr Preuss. And we're inside a hostel for unaccompanied minors called Sonnenhof.
Okay, here is a study hall. From the Sonnenhof.
I'm happy to have the chance for working in a local company.
Farouk is one of the boys. He's been here 10 months. He has a work placement and he's finding life easier.
Now I can sleep good, I am safe, and I learned the German language, and now I start to work, and this is very important for me, and now it's easier.
Another boy, Ali Hassan, shows his bedroom. It has football posters on the wall. Ronaldo is his hero.
I will show my talents in Germany.
Ali already plays in a local team, but one day he'd like to represent Germany.
All the boys in this group have a hobby outside. One is active in the volunteer fire brigade, three are in a boxing club, few are playing football in villages, and one is a member of a theater group.
Ich bin der stellvertretende Landrat im Landkreis Ansbach.
Mr. Kurt Unger, he is the deputy district council representative. He coordinates the work that is done with refugees here within this area.
Flüchtlinge, die Unterbringung mit zu organisieren.
In 2014, 2015, a lot of refugees and asylum seekers came. It was a shock for us, obviously, and we had to find accommodation in various gymnasia, 200, 250 people, all under one roof in one gymnasium, which was difficult to find, difficult to explain to the public.
Also wir werden sicherlich Flüchtlinge haben, die wieder zurück in ihre Länder gehen.
There will naturally be quite a few refugees and asylum seekers who will be going back to their countries. But our task at the moment is obviously to look after those who are going to stay here and to integrate them into the community in such a way that they can also be of advantage to our community.
And there is one more face peering round the corner.
Come, Sonny, come here.
Hello.
Here's a boy from Afghanistan, and he has had good luck today. He signed his contract with a local company.
He's just signed a contract for an apprenticeship with a heating and climate control company. It's for 3 years. 3 years of security, with the possibility of a real job after that.
So he has the allowance to stay till he is finished with his education, and when he has his examination successful, he has the possibility you can stay forever in this country.
After the bombing of Guernica, Luis Siriondo was in the same situation as these boys. No longer able to live in Spain, he fled to France. This experience gave him a lifelong affinity for all victims of war, an affinity that became an action committee with other survivors who were determined to bring the idea of peace to a wider audience.
Hablando de estas cosas, pues fue descifrado, pues decirle cómo...
They met other survivors from other places, from Dresde, from Hiroshima, from Nagasaki, and they create like a group, you know, of survivors that in different anniversaries of the bombing has expressed with letters. For example, they sent a letter to the North Korean president saying that when they did a nuclear test or something with a bomb, you know, that this is not the way to carry, you know, that that way only carry suffering, and it's going to be bad for even the country that creates that. So they did those kind of actions with other survivors.
Mr. President, on the 26th of April, 2012, the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Guernica, we, the survivors of Guernica and Nagasaki, met in the city of Guernica in order to create a body to fight for peace. We were joined later by survivors of the bombings of Hiroshima and Dresden. As victims, we have suffered in our own lives the consequences that wars produce. We appeal to your goodwill and to your love of your people in the hope that you avoid any act that could lead to more war, and that you use all necessary means to avoid movements of weapons of mass destruction that will make people fear possible aggression. There is still time. Let's walk together in peace. Luis Iriondo, Guernica.
Luis knows that it's quite likely his letter never reached Kim Jong-un, but it doesn't stop him.
Then there was another, they sent another letter to the president of the United States not to bomb Syria, because they're the ones that were against which they were fighting, they were going to be safe, but of course the innocent victims will die, so that was nonsense, you know, to attack the innocent victims, so it didn't work, but they did it.
Mr. Barack Obama, President of USA, Washington. Dear Mr. President, we can all see that there are bad things being done now to innocent victims, especially in Syria with the use of chemical weapons, an action which deserves condemnation by all civilized countries. We also understand that your country and the forces under your command might wish to punish such an action. We do not know what methods are going to be used, and for this reason we beg you to ensure that this punitive response does not affect innocent victims who have nothing to do with the deed. We must find ways in which not a single innocent victim is sacrificed for the evil that others have done. There are other ways and means, especially talking, which are not yet exhausted. There is certainly no collateral damage this way. These are all people who do not deserve to die. We are all old people who, in our childhood, suffered brutal bombing attacks that affected us physically and mentally for our whole lives. We appeal to your human compassion. Please hear our voice.
In Spain, during Franco's dictatorship, the bombing of Guernica could not be commemorated. Even speaking about the destruction was forbidden. The propaganda was, instead, that resistance fighters had destroyed their own village. It took 60 years for German involvement to be acknowledged. Even in Germany, it wasn't spoken about. When the truth came out, many Germans were upset. So much so that there is, in the heart of Guernica, a German-instigated peace research center.
Where we are at the Gernika Gorados Peace Research Center. My name is Andreas Schäfter. I've been working here for 10 years now. My specific area sort of is community work. My area is called Everyday Life and Peace. But the idea for the center was brought up by a German woman back in the late 80s, Petra Kelly. She was one of the founders of the Green Party in Germany, and she came here and sort of found out that there was no German delegation present here.
Andreas works with victims of war. The current project is with survivors of the Balkans genocide.
Many historians would say that the Second World War actually started here in the Spanish War, because that's when they tried out all their arms, the new armament and all that, and actually the first village being attacked in Poland, they called themselves the Gernika of Poland because it was attacked in the same way as Gernika.
His job is to make room for the counter-story, like the fact that 800,000 Serbs didn't want to take part in the war. Talking is one way of doing this, but so is art.
The experiences in that sense, and especially when people get together and when they're able to tell their story, they might be politically on opposite side even, but in getting together and learning about their experience, having a sort of empathetic experience in that sense, really helps to heal the wounds, although you might still disagree on like the political reasons for the conflict. But it is a different way to approach each other, and it needs this kind of social healing in order to be able to come up with new projects. If we can't really work on this kind of healing through memory, we always have a very sort of shallow basis for building up a political project on some traumatic impact on society, which happened before, right? Through war or through even genocide, you know. I mean, in the Balkans, there were very, very traumatic experiences.
My name's George Steer, and I'm in Gernika to remember the anniversary of the bombing of Gernika, and also to remember my father who reported it, and who the people of Gernika have remembered.
It has been an amazing achievement from such destruction to create an open, tolerant, and prosperous society. But today we know that in other parts of the world, terrible things happen, and there will be people suffering and displaced. And I know there are many problems in our society today, economic and political.
Sé muy bien que hay muchos problemas en nuestra sociedad de hoy, económicos y políticos.
But they will be solved by peaceful discussion and hard work.
Y mucho trabajo.
Picasso's painting of the bombing of Gernika was a cry against war. But it became something more. It became a potent symbol, not just for this city, but for the whole Basque region.
Recuerdo yo la primera vez que vi el cuadro, me enseñó un ETA, que mató luego ETA, en un sueño de Checoslovaquia.
The first time that he knew about the painting of Picasso, it was that he saw a stamp from Czechoslovakia with the painting of Picasso.
Sí, no creo que haya tenido eso mucho
couldn't see Guernica in that painting. There were some elements that were not typical from Guernica. So the first impression that was that the many protagonists of the painting, the bull, the horse, they were not Guernica. The only thing that could have some relation with Guernica was the fire, the small fire that is in that window, no?
Sí.
Mm-hmm. Afterwards,
it's like a cry
against war, you know?
The actual canvas depicts uncontrollable death throes. There is the horse's scream, the destruction, the horror, and there, amidst all the lies, the truth. Picasso himself was a sort of refugee. When he created this image, he couldn't have known it would mean lifelong exile. But why is this painting victorious? The upward force of this black and white composition counteracts the downward force of aerial bombing. It's an unusual equation. Downward violence is not as strong as upward creativity. Victims can be victors, not in a military sense, but in a more innocent, speculative, childlike sense. This is the meaning of the painting. And it's also the meaning of a poem by Paul Eluard called The Victory of Guernica. Les femmes, les enfants ont le même trésor dans les yeux. Chacun montre son sang. Alimente le feu dévorant de l'espoir. Ouvrons ensemble le dernier bourgeon de l'avenir. Nous en aurons raison. The women, the children, have the same treasure in their eyes. All show their blood, the fear and the courage of living and of dying. Death, so hard and so easy, feeds the devouring fire of hope. Let us open together the last bud of the future. The day will be ours.
And that was the final episode of Crisis and Creativity. It leaves us with a Europe that's both tense and fragile, and with the hope that Europe can, like Guernica, find victory in the face of destruction. Thanks to actors Helen Morse and Nicholas Coughlin. Also to series producers Lynn Gallagher, Claudia Taranto, Michael Sheriffs and Tim Simons for technical production. You can find more information about this series on the Earshot website. I'm Kirsty Melville. Thanks for your company. I'll catch you next time on the Earshot podcast. Bye for now.